in the Vaikuntha planets, the inhabitants fly in their airplanes, accompanied by their wives and consorts, and eternally sing of the character and activities of the Lord, which are always devoid of all inauspicious qualities. While singing the glories of the Lord, they deride even the presence of the blossoming madhavi flowers, which are fragrant and laden with honey. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It appears from this verse that the Vaikuntha planets are full of all opulences. There are airplanes in which the inhabitants travel in the spiritual sky with their sweethearts. There is a breeze carrying the fragrance of blossoming flowers, and this breeze is so nice that it also carries the honey of the flowers. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha, however, are so interested in glorifying the Lord that they do not like the disturbance of such a nice breeze while they are chanting the Lord's glories. In other words, they are pure devotees. They consider glorification of the Lord more important than their own sense gratification. In the Vaikuntha planets, there is no question of sense gratification. To smell the fragrance of a blossoming flower is certainly very nice, but it is simply for sense gratification. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha give first preference to the service of the Lord, not their own sense gratification. Serving the Lord in transcendental love yields such transcendental pleasure that, in comparison, sense gratification is counted as insignificant. My manika salala nascharita nishashvad gayanti yatra shavala shapanani bartu antarjale nuvikasan madumada vinam gandena kandita diyo pyanilam shipanta. In the Vaikuntha planets, the inhabitants fly in their airplanes, accompanied by their wives and consorts, and eternally sing of the character and activities of the Lord, which are always devoid of all inauspicious qualities. While singing the glories of the Lord, they deride even the presence of the blossoming madhavi flowers, which are fragrant and laden with honey. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pasuchyadeshtarani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Vanchakabhacharibhyasya griva sindhu vyevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Well, this is a very beautiful chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Very special chapter, which forms a part of, like, a pastime, describes a part of a pastime which is elaborated upon through a number of chapters, and the nature of that particular pastime is really extremely important. It's the fall of Jaya and Vijaya, and then their appearances, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and so on and so forth, which occupies a fairly substantial part of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, actually. but this, I assume you've been following this for the last so many days and weeks, so you know the background, basically, that the four Kumars have just arrived in Vaikuntha, and they've never been in such a place. They've only been in the material world. Or maybe the Brahma Jyoti, because they were impersonalists. But whether they were actually in the Brahma Jyoti is not completely clear, because certainly they were just moving around in the material world just immediately before this pastime happened. And it was in the material world they encountered Narada Muni, great devotee and great preacher and presenter of Krishna consciousness. And he inspired them to come to this amazing place and meet the amazing person who's living there and who is running the place, and upon whom everything in that amazing place is based, and why, the reason why it's all like that. So when they heard these descriptions from Narada Muni, the four Kumars, even though they were impersonalists, they became so inspired, they decided, that's it. We are going there. And away they went. And here they come. This is what we're reading about here. The description of what they experienced when they arrived. Actually, they haven't even really been inside. I assume you know this, that part of the story. They haven't even really been inside yet. They're just at the gateway. But when you're at the gateway, and the gate is open, then you can see in what's inside. So that's what they were seeing. There was a gateway, but there were no gates. It was just an arch with guards, giant vijay. So they were able to see a little bit, not too much, but something. They could see inside that, what a place is this. Even Srila Prabhupada made the point that when you take to Krishna consciousness, as all of you have done, then the understanding is you've already traversed a long path just to get here. You don't just suddenly appear in the gateway to the spiritual world just like that. It's generally a long path, many lifetimes, going through so many things. We read the description of Gopa Kumar when he went back to Goloka Vrindavan, and he went through many lifetimes. Finally he arrived there. So in this way we assume that we have also been on a long path which has finally led us here to the entranceway, and we're just standing right at the entranceway to the spiritual world. And the way Srila Prabhupada put it, Srila Prabhupada said that when you take to Krishna consciousness seriously, Prabhupada said, you are standing on the threshold of eternity. Threshold means you're just right in the doorway. You're not actually inside, but you are right there. The threshold of a house means just the last couple of feet before you actually step inside. Yes, so we're standing on the threshold of eternity, Prabhupada said. All we have to do is step inside. That's all. We don't have to go running or walking or chasing or struggling or anything like that at all. Just a step and that's it. You're already there. The threshold of eternity. So, and Prabhupada, and these books, the books of Srila Prabhupada specifically, they're giving us, and you know, particularly chapters like this, and any actually of our literatures, they're giving us those glimpses, just as Jayan Vijay are having, right at this point. And they're observing these certain, by ordinary material standards, very fantastic things. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada, through his books, he's giving us that vision, that view. We're seeing through the threshold of eternity, into the spiritual world. And even, I'm sure many of you are aware, that Srila Prabhupada said the pictures, the paintings, illustrations in his books, they are windows to the spiritual world. So it's the same idea. We're just looking through the window and just on the other side of the window. It's not way off in the distance through the window. It's just through the window. It's the spiritual world. So the four Kumars are seeing this, and it's certainly very stunning, moving, and incredibly attractive and inspirational, far unlike anything they've experienced so far. And they've been the heavenly planets, they've been here and there, Janaloka, Tapaloka, these places, which are like superhuman places, but still within the material world. They've been there. So they have experienced some things, means some really amazing and wonderful things in this material world, beyond what we've experienced in Chatsworth. Well, of course, when you're in front of Radha Radna, particularly if there's a nice kirtan going on or something, then you're also there to some degree. Yes, so, but the four Kumars, in terms of material experience, they have, you know, as they say, been there, done that, seen that. Okay, all right, that was enough. Done it. They have experienced the material world and the best of what it has to offer. But now they're seeing this, and it's just truly an extra-dimensional experience. Very amazing. So they are observing through the gateway some of the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, and different, actually, of the inhabitants. The verse I suppose you read yesterday was saying how they saw some of the trees. Was that yesterday? They saw some of the trees in Vaikuntha through the gateway. And they saw, well, the description was that those trees, in all seasons they bear all fruits and flowers. And of course we've seen so many trees with flowers and fruits. But they saw trees with fruits and flowers at the same time. Normally you don't see that, because the flowers come and then the fruits come from the flowers. This is a little, what would you say, botanical exercise. From the flowers come the fruits. Usually it works like that. But here you've got the flowers and the fruits at the same time. But that's just the beginning of it. There you've got not just the fruits and the flowers at the same time, but you've got different types of fruits and different types of flowers on the same trees at the same time. You don't get that. You get trees with flowers, trees with fruits. Maybe sometimes some trees with some leftover flowers and some fruits, but not just two different types, but many different types. And they saw as they looked through, they saw how those were desire trees. They saw how they were. In other words, they saw some devotees approach the trees which had, you know, a few different types of fruits and flowers. And some devotee placed a request to a tree which had, you know, oranges, apples, bananas, anyway, possibly bananas on a tree, and, you know, apricots and peaches and rose flowers and other types. But then they saw some devotee approach a tree and say, you know, I'd really like to offer Krishna some lychees. What do you think? And suddenly, some super duper lychees. Even better than Mauritian. South African lychees. They're okay. Let us not criticize, but Mauritian lychees are better, and good Mauritian lychees are a lot better. So yeah, and suddenly these super duper lychees just, they were there. And the four Kumbhas saw this. And now they're seeing some of the inhabitants moving around and doing different things and observing the reactions of these different inhabitants to different situations that they encounter as they're moving around. So the first thing they see is, look, I mean, in terms of a number of inhabitants, the first thing is they see that, oh, look, they're flying in planes. These are not SAA planes. Neither, they're not even mango planes. Or any of the others, they're not even Emirates planes. Noisy, you know, all just extremely complex technical and mechanical arrangements. And all that, burning up so many liters of fuel every minute. These were flower airplanes. And they just go, you just ask them, can we go this way? And off you go. And they can even fly interplanetarily. And you don't need some sort of artificial atmosphere as you get in regular airplanes or rockets. Yeah, so they saw the inhabitants flying around in these types of airplanes, which are open. You know, when you're looking at an airplane flying in the sky, if it's not too high, like if it's still at the airport, you can see through the window and see there's some people there. But you can't really see what's going on in the airplane. The whole, you know, any social interactions that are going on, just a few faces through their windows if you're close enough. But here those airplanes are open, and the four Kumars could see what the people in the airplanes were doing. And here they saw and they heard that these devotees in the airplanes, they are singing the glories of the Lord. When you see someone in a regular airplane, if you're, you know, waiting for them in the airport and you see the plane come in and you see your friend or family member through the window, their mouth may be moving, but you can't hear what they're saying. In some of our temples in Russia and that sort of area, where it's very cold in the winter, they have double glazing. Well, actually, every window is double glazed. Just millions of them, because it's too cold otherwise. But some of them, they have special double or triple glazing. And I've been a few times to some temples where there's very, you know, like two or three layers of glass with some gaps in between, because it cuts down the sound and the cold, but it cuts down the sound. And through the window, you can see the devotees having kirtan. And the devotees are just, you know, they're going for it. But you can't hear a sound. You can't hear anything at all. But the four Kumars, when they were seeing the Vaikuntha Vasis in their airplanes, not only could they see their mouths moving and emotional expressions of different types, but they could hear what they were singing and speaking. And they heard, they were just simply chanting the glories of the Lord and just totally absorbed, just completely enraptured by different topics, different devotees, groups on different planes, and different people on the same planes, and so on. They're speaking, chanting, sometimes singing descriptions of the qualities of the Lord, of the pastimes of the Lord, how he displays his qualities in the pastime. He heard them chanting different names of the Lord, and realizing, as they chanted the names, realizing what the name meant and how it is the Lord has that name. In other words, the relevant pastime or pastimes connected with the name. This is just a brief description in one verse, but you could write a book just about what they were singing and chanting and talking about and exchanging in different ways. It's deep. It's extremely deep. To the point that the four Kumars, who'd basically seen it all, done it all in material life, they were just flabbergasted, just totally, totally overwhelmed by the sight, unlike anything they had experienced before, just in a totally different realm of experience. Yes, and as those devotees and their wives and consorts, or as Prabhupada says in the purport, their sweethearts, you know, oftentimes this term sweetheart is used to describe a person or is applied to a person who someone else loves but they're not married to. It's that sort of relationship. But devotees, don't worry. It is possible for a husband or a wife to be a sweetheart. I heard some of you giggle. Yeah, but it is possible. It's not just formality and yes, sir, no, madam, and all that. They can actually be sweethearts and be married. True. So, as they heard this, because, you know, the thing is, the first thing is, they had heard from Narada Muni some things, enough to really inspire them, just really inspire them. But it was not a complete description, but it was a very nice description. Now they've arrived, and they're witnessing all of this. So they're also witnessing, or not just witnessing, but they're experiencing, as the verse says, that the singing, the talking, the discussing, the chanting of the character and activities of the Lord, they experience, the four Kamas, that these things are always devoid of all inauspicious qualities. Anything inauspicious is just not there. And it means that there's only auspiciousness there. And meaning total auspiciousness, full-fledged, unlimited auspiciousness was there. So they experienced that through hearing the singing and chanting and speaking like that. Of all these things to do with the Lord, or not just to do with Him, but about Him, they experience that, oh, just see, this actually is eternal. It's not just that we hear something nice for a while, and then, you know, then we will have had enough, and we'll go on to something else. Yeah, but it's just fully auspicious from beginning to end, and there's no end, and there's no beginning, but still you can say from beginning to end. From top to bottom, there's no top, no bottom, and just all around, it's just total saturation in nectar. Yes. And while these devotees in Vaikuntha were just so totally, completely absorbed in all of that, hearing and chanting, singing, reciting, and experiencing the nectar of that, then another thing happened, which is a very interesting thing and very important thing, is that the Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, it's a world. And we just mentioned about the trees. And there's trees, there's plants, there's bushes, there's shrubs, there's grass, there's what they call ground covers. There's all different types of growing vegetation, right up to super trees, right from little things which just are on the ground. So all of those different types of vegetation are fragrant. They're all fragrant. but particularly what they experienced, and it's just an interesting part of the spiritual world. You know, in amongst devotees in the spiritual world and in the material world, but particularly in the spiritual world, amongst the devotees, there are different types of devotees. And each different type has a different flavor, you could say, a different nature, different characteristics of relationship with the Lord, like details of their relationship with the Lord. First of all, there's the five main rasas, and they're really quite different from each other: neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental mood, conjugal mood. These are really different from each other. But within each type, for example, the parental or the conjugal, within each type, there are many variations. There are many subtypes. Some of our previous acharyas have listed out some of the main types. But ultimately you come to the point that every single devotee has his or her own particular individual unique nature. So in other words, the variety of relationship is unlimited. Similarly, all the vegetation, like here you've got grass and, you know, sort of common things that grow around here and there, and they're not fragrant. Actually, they all have some aroma, but not always what we would consider, what people consider nice fragrances. But in the spiritual world, even the grass has nice fragrance. And when the cows eat the grass, the fragrance from the grass goes into the milk and makes the milk fragrant. So if you want a milkshake, you don't have to flavor the milk. You just get milk from a certain cow which has been eating a certain type of grass, and you got this, like, wow, amazing, rich, flavored milk. Yeah. So the thing is, as described here, that, you know, like, they are different devotees on different levels. Conjugal, Srimati Radharani and her gopi associates, they're the highest. Then parental, they're not as high, and different. And then friendly, they're not as high as the parental, and they're also quite different. So you've got these different levels of devotees. But then there are different levels of vegetation with different types and levels of fragrance. Yeah. And amongst all of them, the Madhavi flowers are very special. There are others which are as special, maybe some which are more. But here, particularly, the Madhavi flowers are being pointed out as being especially fragrant and powerfully fragrant. That not only, as we read, not only does the fragrance get carried by the breeze for some distance, but the actual honey, this is what Prabhupada says, and the verse says, the honey is carried in the breeze, you might get a face full of honey. I think it's more subtle than that. But one way or another, the honey, the breeze, the verse says, the breeze is laden with honey. Laden means there's a lot. It's not just a hint. You know, sometimes at the right time, if you come in at night from the by the Food for Life kitchen, you come up there, if the night blooming jasmine is working, then as you step up, there's a couple of little steps, and then the walkway, which goes around the little sort of garden type area. Sometimes when you step onto that, or even before, just like when you're just exiting from the actual car park area, sometimes you get the smell of the night blooming jasmine, and it's powerful. And the plant is 10 meters away or more, but you get this very powerful fragrance. It's amazing. It's a hint. It's just a subtle little hint of what those this type of fragrance being discussed here is like. It's just a subtle hint. You know, at night blooming, it's only at night. And some nights, you know, it's kind of seasonal. It's not there all the time. These flowers are there 24/7. Just exuding powerful, powerful fragrance. And as we read, the Forkamas, they're observing the inhabitants of Vaikuntha in these different situations and how they're reacting in different ways and how they're reacting to this very powerful and extremely beautiful aroma of these Madhavi flowers, the aroma which is enhanced by the fragrance of the honey which is within those flowers. Madhavi, of course, being a type of jasmine. Madhavi is a jasmine. I think we have some Madhavi here, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, we've got Parijata here. But anyway, Madhavi is a jasmine, a type of white jasmine, delicate flower. So when the Forkamas saw these Vaikunthavasis, they suddenly, they picked up that aroma from the Madhavi flowers. Then, as the verse says, they started deriding that fragrance. That, what is this? You know, deriding is quite strong. If you deride a person, you tell them they're a stupid fool or something like that. It is, you know, it's a really quite a strong negative expression. So they were saying, what is this useless stuff? Get away from me, fragrance of Madhavi flowers. Just don't bother me, because I'm experiencing something better. You are acting as a distraction for my consciousness, because my consciousness just got a little diverted by you, by the fragrance, whereas my consciousness was totally absorbed in the Lord and his character and activities and so on like that. But now suddenly, like a little blip, what was that? And so they derided it. Get out of here. You're distracting me from the real nectar. It's like, who needs I don't know what you say. Who needs just plain yogurt when you can have a nectar drink? Anyway, it's something like that. Yogurt's nice. It's very nice. But a nectar drink, in terms of the how pleasant the experience is, a nectar drink is just something much better. So somehow they got momentarily distracted by the fragrance of the madhavi. The madhavi flowers with the honey sort of flavor or fragrance added also. And just suddenly it happened and they got, their attention was diverted. But then they quickly pulled themselves together and just said, oh, what is this? Get out of here. I'm not interested in you. Take your fragrance some other direction. Why, devotees, why do you think they were attracted, though, by the fragrance? Why was the fragrance attractive?
It's pleasing.
Speak up, I didn't hear that.
Spiritual.
Well, yes. That, of course, cannot be a wrong answer. But, yes?
Because it emanated from the Lord's words.
All right. You're getting closer. Yeah?
They were Brahmavadis or impersonalists?
Yeah, okay, but no, that's not really the point. Why was the fragrance was just amazing, whoever they may have been, but the fragrance itself was amazing. And they got attracted initially, but then quickly they pulled themselves away from it and started just saying, ah, what is this? Last.
It's pleasing to the senses.
That's exactly the wrong answer.
Which they didn't want.
All right, anyway, good try. But actually the point is, and I have to admit, I read the purport of Srila Jiva Goswami to this verse last night, and he says that because their fragrance is acquired from the Lord, yes, it's acquired from the Lord. It's not just their fragrance. It's a fragrance acquired from the Lord, but it's only partial. It's not like, you know, the full fragrance of the Lord, which is just all-encompassing. It's a particular aspect, and therefore it's attractive, because it's a manifestation of the nature of the Lord. And as Prabhupada mentioned, Prabhupada says, these devotees are so interested in glorifying the Lord that they don't like the disturbance of such a nice breeze while they're chanting the Lord's glories. In other words, they are pure devotees. They're pure devotees. Yes, and they're pure devotees of particular natures, and because they have particular natures, they're attracted to different aspects of the Lord's nature. Like the cowherd boys, they're attracted to certain aspects of Krishna's nature. You know, many of them, the fact that Krishna's a tough boy. He's nice, he's super, really nice, but he's a real, you know, he's one of the boys. But then the gopis are attracted to Krishna because of other qualities, particularly. So these flowers are reflecting certain aspects of the Lord's fragrance. Certain parts of the Lord's fragrance. Therefore, how could they not be attractive to the devotees there, but it's only partial and only a particular part, whereas their attraction is broader than just that particular aspect, fragrance, and a particular type of fragrance. They're attracted, for example, to the Lord's mercy, to the Lord's kindness, to the Lord's wisdom, and so many other things. And they were absorbed in discussions, hearing and chanting and singing and speaking about all those different, many different features of the Lord in those senses. But when they smelt these Madhavi flowers with honey, because it's reflecting the Lord, they were attracted. But because it distracted them from the main aspects of the Lord they're mainly interested in and attracted by, and it's just flowers anyway, it's not even the Lord himself, therefore they felt like, oh, what a joke. Yes. So, and even if you take it, as Arjunacharya Prabhu put it, which, you know, is true, it's not like it's untrue, that it was a sensory experience, a sensual experience, which it was. Even if you take it like that, which is very low level, the thing is, they were so serving the Lord in transcendental love gives such transcendental pleasure that if you compare that to just some even super fragrant flower, then the experience of the Lord is much, much greater. To be absorbed in serving the Lord and hearing his glories, chanting his glories, the experience that one gets from that is so much greater than just a nice fragrance in and of itself. Even if, you know, that's just saying a fragrance in and of itself, and even if it's seen and experienced as actually being a manifestation of the fragrance, a partial manifestation of the fragrance of the Lord. Therefore, the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, they give first preference to the service of the Lord. That you flowers, you're trying to distract us from glorifying the Lord. Just get out of here. Stop it. Yes, so they consider glorification of the Lord much more important than their own sense gratification. Hare Krishna. And for us, you know, we're not on that level. We're really not on that level. In fact, we're really, really not on that level. In fact, you could take it further too. But we really aren't. But at least we had the opportunity. At least we got the opportunity. The opportunity to get the opportunity. That's not just a 1 in 10, 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000. It's not even a 1 in 1,000,000. Well, maybe it's 1 in 1,000,000. Anyway, whatever it is, it's very rare to get the opportunity. And at least we have the opportunity to absorb ourselves, following in the footsteps of these devotees of Vaikuntha, absorb ourselves in devotional activities of service to the Lord in different ways, and then as we do that more and more, gradually realize, you could say realize, you could say have revealed to us by the grace of the Lord, the supernatural nature of the Lord, And the more we realize that, or the more that is revealed to us, the more it will be possible for us to remain fixed and not get distracted. They felt it was a distraction. We have our distractions. You know, our distractions are not that a certain flower reminds us of the Lord a bit. And so we think, oh, what a nice flower. We have other distractions. Let's not get into that, but you know what I mean. Yeah. Those distractions are the scourge of our life. You understand scourge? Scourge. It's drastic. Scourge is drastic. They're the scourge of our lives. If it wasn't for those stupid, well, not just stupid distractions, but our weakness to be influenced by those stupid distractions, we might already be there. At least we'd be in a much better place in terms of consciousness than we are now. But anyway, for the time being, at least we've got the opportunity. So let's try our best to make the most of it. Work on it. Develop our Krishna consciousness. Really serve nicely. Try to avoid material chitter-chatter and all these things. And as much as possible, absorb ourselves in Krishna Katha and chanting Hare Krishna, serving Krishna, associating nicely with the devotees. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any comment or question? Jai Satchinandan Prabhu.
Thank you much. You mentioned that the flowers and the fruits are simultaneously. I mean, the time factor was absent.
Well, you could say, yeah,
no
as we know it. Not the time is not passing. Transcendental time, according to Lord Brahma, in Brahma Samhita, the difference is, you know, he talks about spiritual time in Goloka Vrindavan, that it has the characteristic of not deteriorating anything. Time in this world, the particular feature of it is it deteriorates. It's even while we've been sitting here for the last hour or half hour, physically we've deteriorated. You know, you might not notice it objectively when you walk out of the room, but actually it's happened. So which he says it has the characteristic of not passing away even for a moment. In other words, not taking anything away. Time in the spiritual world is just a background, a facility for the Lord's pastime. So sometimes it accelerates, sometimes it slows down, sometimes it may stop, sometimes it may apparently go backwards. But it's all just facilitating under the controllers of the spiritual energy. It's facilitating the pastimes and thereby the pleasure of the Lord. Did I cut you off, though?
No.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yes, come on.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you very much for this conference. Maharaj, I just want to know what gave the four Kumaras that opportunity to go to the Vaikuntha.
Okay, good question. What gave it to them? Because they were impersonalists. They were not devotees. At best, they were, you know, anyway, they were not really devotees as such. But what gave them the opportunity was the association of Narada Muni. In other words, what gives a person, any person, the opportunity to become a devotee is getting the association of devotees. And that's exactly what happened to them. They were not thinking of going there. They had no idea about going there. But they met Narada Muni. And he's so influential as a devotee that, you know, the way he presented things and so on, that they came out of the exchange feeling like, wow, wow, we're going. And they went. Yeah. So that's the point. So we also, we have to try to give good association to each other, but we have to try to give good association to the people in general. And then the same thing will happen to them. Yeah, this is how Krishna consciousness spreads. You know, like we distribute books. Prabhupada is present in the books. So, you know, in a written form, but it's just the transformation of his voice. So you're giving them the association of Prabhupada. Therefore, people change. Many people change from reading a book. Or, you know, if you just speak to people nicely about Krishna consciousness, that's how, you know, I mean, we all came to Krishna consciousness somehow or other through this type of means, through the basic principle is association of devotees. Mataji Rukmini, was your hand wavering?
Yes. I was thinking about this distraction, and I guess that in dealing with distractions in the conditioned state, because for these residents, they had full realization of the supernatural form of the Lord, like you were saying.
Yes.
But then for us who don't have full realization of the form, the distractions can be so much more attractive because the realization is not there.
Yes.
So in that state, how to deal with them?
Well, the thing is, just the fact that someone has remained a devotee for a while means they've taken some step in that direction. No, devotees also, you know, they go away from Krishna consciousness sometimes. So it's like what you were saying. The distractions can really be too powerful or extremely heavy. But, you know, we already got some mercy, therefore we're here. And if you've been around, for how long have you been a devotee now?
About 15 years. 15?
Just the fact that you're still here and you're not in some other place, means material place, means that you are receiving, you're following the process, which is not just process, but following what's given by Srila Prabhupada and the devotees on behalf of Prabhupada, who are sort of carrying Prabhupada to you, and doing, you know, practicing these things. And as a result, the taste, the experience, you know, generally we would say, or we would hope, it's sort of gradually increasing, actually. But even if it's sort of a little kind of stationary in terms of upward movement, at least it's enough to still be here. Even though sometimes distractions may be a bit like, wow, you know, something like that. So in other words, what to do is carry on. That's the first thing to do. Don't stop carrying on. When I was a child, there was a series of British comedy movies, the Carry On series. Did you ever Carry On this and Carry On that and Carry On so many things. Very funny. Anyway, that's by the way. But we have to carry on. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Yeah. Don't you panic. Don't panic. Give it one more try. And then one more. But you know, really, what we should be trying to do, in fact, is positively trying to develop our Krishna consciousness. Not just find a steady... You know, it's nice when devotees are steady and not sort of, you know, up and particularly down and just unstable. But steadiness can lead to or be a form of complacency or lethargy or something of that sort. But I found a kind of comfort zone in Krishna consciousness, in this world. I'm okay, I'm carrying on. Krishna consciousness, we should always try to maintain a progressive attitude and look at our lives and consider how to develop our lives in positive ways. Yeah. Doesn't mean just, you know, change, but how to naturally evolve and develop ourselves as devotees in terms of our what services we have, our proclivities in Krishna consciousness. Then advancement will happen. Advancement will happen just if there's sincere steadiness too. But we should also play our part by making some effort to develop our Krishna consciousness beyond where it is. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.